Do you remember your first trip to the planetarium? Probably with your third grade class. More excited to leave school than actually learn anything about science. You know who you were. You find your seat, impatiently waiting for the show to start, ignoring the withering look of your teacher. And then... wow. Incredible. How can we be so small, but so special? That is, I believe, how the wise men must have felt. These magi got quite the star show themselves. Except, it was just one star. One bright, magnificent, piercing, brilliant ball of fire. And boy, did they bet a lot on that star. But just like the one they were traveling to see, this star stood out as something special. This one beckoned, "Follow me." And what a payoff. When they arrived in Bethlehem, they asked, "Where is the one born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him." And it got me thinking, is worship a little different the harder the journey to get there? Struggling along the road with others? The type of trip that tests your faith and breaks your back? What's that worship like? I can't speak for the wise men. Maybe they shouted hallelujah, or they knelt in quiet reverence. We've all walked our own difficult journeys. And when we got to the other side, we all felt it. The joy we had to fight for tasted just a bit sweeter. And for that bright morning star, the one that caught you in awe when you saw it, well, what else can you do but rejoice when you realize that the journey was always leading you to Jesus?
The journey was always leading you to Jesus. What a powerful sentence to stop and ponder this Christmas concerning how the path of your life has been unfolding. As you have made your way through the many ups and downs on your road that brought you where you are today, what if the last statement that we just heard in the video is true about your life? The journey was always leading you to Jesus. There is a wonder of joy waiting to be experienced this Christmas, especially when you realize the road you have been traveling intersects with the Savior who was born for you. The more difficult the journey, the greater the joy when you come to realize that He really is the Lord and Savior over all. He is worthy to be pursued and worthy of all we have once we come into His presence. This is what the wise men ultimately found when they followed the star that led them to the promised Messiah. There was great joy for the wise men in seeking and finding Jesus. It was a difficult and toilsome journey that cost them time and resources to fulfill. Ultimately, it was worth it and allowed them to come face to face with the newborn King. After miles upon miles of searching and persistence, the star in the night sky guided them to the Savior who had been born in the stable. They likely were overcome with emotion, reverence, awe, and probably abundant joy. Their story is told in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, hello, Christ Church, and all of us today for joining us for online worship. Out of joy, the wise men must have continued to share their story. Though going another way, as the wise men departed from the one they had invested so much to seek, they likely shared their story with people they came into contact with on their journey home. A star that bright would not have been a hidden phenomenon to others living in that region. It likely would have been a connection point of discussion as the wise men shared their story of where they had been, how they had traveled, and what ultimately led them to Jesus. They likely shared the good news of their amazing encounter with the Christ child to all who would listen. When they set out with a purpose and found it in this baby who had been foretold by the prophets of old. When Jesus came from heaven to earth on purpose, he did so with you in mind. Think of that. Yes, you were created on purpose for a purpose, for a relationship with God in Christ. Part of that purpose is to experience the wonderful joy that a life-changing relationship with Jesus gives to all who put their faith, hope, and trust in him. At just the right time, on your journey through life, it's as if the stars align in just the right manner and point you to the one whose birth we celebrate at this time of year, Jesus. Here's a question I sometimes like to use in small groups as I'm getting to know fellow Christ followers. The question is, when did Jesus become more than just a name in your life? When did it happen on your journey that the light of Christ first shined bright? Or when did circumstances seem to align just right for you to see Jesus as more than just a name? One such time for me was in high school. At the end of my junior year, the girl that I'd been dating and her family moved to some faraway place called Enid, Oklahoma. A football friend of mine introduced me to another girl at school that I had seen around. Her family had moved to Great Bend a year or so earlier. Her father was the new vice president at the Fuller Brush plant in town. It turned out she was the second child of six kids. I was the first of seven. She was Mormon. I was Catholic. She was cute. I was the quarterback. It looked like some things might be lining up here. We started dating, and I really liked her. She was serious about her faith and told me so. She said she didn't drink or do drugs, and she wouldn't be dating anyone who did either. I said, "I'm fine with that. Year-round sports had kept me pretty much away from those things." She invited me to some of her non-Sunday church events. They were small gatherings with a handful of families, and we had fun together. She started asking me questions about my faith, questions about my church, our practices, questions about Jesus. I realized that I didn't have answers to some of her questions, especially her questions about Jesus. For the first time in my life, I got serious about my faith. I opened the Bible and I started to read it, trying to understand what the story of Jesus was really all about. So God used a Mormon girl's questions to point my life in the direction of Jesus and help me connect some dots about the why of Jesus' coming and birth. You know, God has lots of different ways of helping us discover Jesus. Relationships, circumstances, sometimes hardships, difficulties, sometimes even being an online church. Perhaps this is the first time you've ever really stopped on your journey through life and paused long enough to look up and see that God has been waiting to connect with you and help you connect the dots in your life leading toward Jesus. Maybe today is the first time in a long time that you have found yourself remembering what you once held dear as the true meaning of Christmas. Perhaps once you walked your path of life in ways that you felt close to Jesus and were following Him. However, somewhere along the road, you may have taken a detour that now finds you further away from traveling with Jesus. Wherever you are on your journey through life, however difficult it may have been up to now, Jesus wants to give you the wonder of His joy this Christmas and invite you to follow Him. Just as the wise men were led on their journey by a bright and shining star in the sky that moved them to Jesus, God uses different moments in life to help guide people to a place where they are meant to meet the Savior. Regardless of where you've been on your journey or how you've arrived at where you are today, God has a history of using different situations and circumstances at just the right time to help us find new life with Jesus. John Wesley's journey involved several turns that led him to new life with Jesus. When Wesley arrived back in England after a failed mission to the American colonies, he was discouraged and troubled in his heart. In his mid-30s, having answered a call to follow in his father's footsteps as a Church of England pastor, the mission to America was to be a mission to the Indians. But things didn't turn out the way he planned. In fact, he had a failed romance with a girl who ended up marrying someone else. And when he chose not to serve her communion, suggesting that she wasn't fit for it, her uncle issued a warrant for Wesley's arrest. He left Savannah, Georgia, not long after, on a ship headed back to England. He wrote in his diary, January 24, 1738, "I went to America to convert the Indians, but oh, who shall convert me?" When he got home, he encountered Peter Bowler, a Moravian preacher. Peter Bowler talked with Wesley about personal salvation through saving faith in Jesus. Wesley had met Moravian Christians on the boat over to America and was impressed by their faith and lack of fear in the midst of storms, while he feared for his life when the storms came. He noticed they were calm and they were at rest, even their children. Wesley had difficulty concerning momentary saving faith that Peter Bowler talked about versus a lifetime of holy living as the means of bringing one into salvation. He couldn't see how such a sudden crisis experience could take the place of a lifetime of devout worship in church in bringing a soul to God. About a month before Wesley's Aldersgate experience, Peter Bowler brought four men to Wesley, each of whom testified of their immediate, momentary salvation by faith and instant assurance that their sins were forgiven. When Wesley still had difficulty believing it, Bowler said he could bring 8 more people the next time. That was enough. Wesley could only cry like the man in Mark 9:24, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." He finally saw the truth of genuine saving faith and would experience it soon enough in his own heart. On the evening of May 24, 1738, he wrote in his diary, "I think it was about 5 a.m. this morning that I opened my testament on those words from 2 Peter 1:4, there are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." He writes that just as he went out, he opened the New Testament again on those words in Mark 12:34, "Thou are not far from the kingdom of God." In the afternoon, Wesley visited St. Paul's Cathedral in London and noted that the anthem was Psalm 130, verse 1, "Out of the deep have I called unto thee, O Lord." Then he describes the life-changing visit he made to an evening small group. In the evening, he writes, "I went very unwillingly to a society in Aldersgate Street, where one was reading Luther's preface to the Book of Romans. About a quarter before 9, while he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt that I did trust in Christ, Christ alone, for my salvation, and an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death." In that moment, Wesley experienced the joy of salvation through faith in Jesus. It changed his life. It changed the trajectory of the Methodist movement. The circumstances of his life lined up to that moment. His upbringing, his training at home and in school, his desire to serve God, and yet his frustration and his failures in doing it, his questions and even doubts were all there when God touched him and changed his life. From that time on, Wesley began to preach and teach about the saving power of Jesus to change lives. He preached sermons that were titled things like "The New Birth," "Circumcision of the Heart," and "The Almost Christian," pointing to the transforming, life-changing power of faith in Jesus. Jesus' life-transforming power has always been at the heart of Wesley's Methodist movement. Personal salvation, forgiveness of sins, Holy Spirit power, the call to holiness, these have always been the marks of John Wesley's movement. Any sinner, no matter how far away from God, through repentance and simple faith in Jesus, can be justified, forgiven, and sanctified, declared holy. Wesley said to his preachers, "Offer them Christ. He is the one with the power to change any life." Throughout my 32 years of ministry, that story of John Wesley's life and mission and focus has always captivated my heart. That's what helped me to decide I wanted to be on the Methodist team. It's what helped me to hear God's call to offer my life to ministry in the church. That life-changing, transforming, redeeming good news of the gospel is still the focus that compels me today. Our world is changing. We understand an increasing number of people today are turning away from God, away from the church, away from Jesus. That's a story that's been told through the centuries. Certainly the people of Israel were on and off in their pursuit of God. It was part of the struggle of the New Testament church. A majority of people had turned away from God in Wesley's day. The Church of England in that time had drifted from its mission. The gospel of Jesus was not central, and the people most in need were being neglected. Wesley and his preachers reached out to common people with the saving faith of Jesus. These people were spiritually and physically hungry and in need. They responded, and Wesley organized them in small groups, reading the scripture, sharing their struggles, praying for each other, and the movement spread like wildfire. Wesley said, "Our mission is to reform the nation and spread scriptural holiness across the land." Certainly, circumstances were aligned in that day, and God raised up Wesley's Methodists to do a new thing using classical good news, New Testament good news centered in Jesus. So here's what I know. God is always at work in the world and is most concerned to reach the same hurting and brokenhearted, the poor, outcasts, sinners who've lost all hope. That's why God sent his son Jesus. That's why he sent wise men from the east who would continue to tell their story. That's why God raised up the church to spread the good news of the gospel. That's why God raises up reformers and innovators like Wesley when change is needed. We know this. God still is at work in the world today, still interested to continue offering all people the life-transforming gospel of Jesus, still interested in pointing them to his kingdom of righteousness, justice, holiness, and peace, still interested in people who are open, available, and willing to heed his call. We know, historically, answering that call is never easy. It involves sacrifice and often puts us at odds with the prevailing culture and the ever-changing winds. And yet, our great privilege at Christmas is remembering the joy surrounding Jesus' birth and listening again to hear his call. Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, Almighty God, loving Lord, we thank you for the amazing joy that is ours in the midst of Christmas. The wise men experienced joy as they sought and eventually found Jesus. John Wesley experienced joy as he sought and then found new life with Jesus. We experience joy in our own journey with Jesus. Help us continue to remember the reason for this season and why Jesus continues to be good news for anyone and everyone who is seeking, pursuing, longing for life-transforming power. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you want to visit with me about the message, I'd love to hear from you. get a hold of me. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, send them to us. We want to hear from you. And thank you again for your generosity. Your ongoing gifts are helping us reach our community and world for Jesus and His kingdom. You can go online using the app or the website anytime. Make your Stewardship 2023 estimates online too. We need everyone's help to reach our ministry goals next year. Be sure to take advantage of our discipleship opportunities. Find all the information you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Remember this, there was great joy for the wise men in seeking and finding Jesus. That same joy is available to everyone. Who do you know that needs this life-changing joy and salvation from Jesus?
What did the mama turkey say to her naughty son?
I don't know.
If your dad could see this, he'd turn over in his gravy.
One in seven children will lose a parent or sibling before they're 20. Camp Aaron Tulsa is a free overnight bereavement camp for youth. On the first Wednesday in December, Lucretia Pardenas, Director of Programs for the Grief Center, will be speaking along with our own Richard Modenbach. As our mission portion, we're asking for donations for the camp. Join us December 7th at 5:30 p.m. for First Wednesday. A meal, a mission, a message.
Kick off the Christmas season with the Honakers on Sunday, December 4th at 6 p.m. at the church. We'll gather together to sing some of our favorite Christmas carols and spread the Christmas cheer. You won't want to miss it.
This month, the All Ears Music Appreciation Society will see the newly rediscovered music of Florence Price to understand how African American spirituals influenced her work and nearly all of American popular music. We'll also see the short animated Christmas special, A Wish for Wings That Work. Come by December 4th at 2 p.m. in the movie room. Popcorn and refreshments provided.
You can find all of this information and more on our website, cumctulsa.com.
On December 11th from 2 to 5 p.m., Christ Church is hosting a Christmas open house. All throughout the church and in the parking lot, we'll have activities from carriage rides, art demonstrations, and an interactive nativity. There'll also be live animals, hot chocolate, storytelling, Santa, and music.
So much music! We are so blessed to have piano, violin, dance, and voice studio recitals, the Tulsa Festival Ringers, Talk of Tulsa Chorus, the Sweet Adeline Barbershop Choir, ELC and Children's Ministry, CUMC worship teams, and even karaoke.
But we need your help. Check out the volunteer sign up on the bulletin board in the People Place. Invite your friends and family, and let's usher in this most wonderful time of the year.